Kia ora, welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 338. Today is Friday, July 13, 2018. Friday the 13th. I will leave it to others to decide whether or not this is lucky or unlucky that I'm recording today. It is my first episode in 4 months, which is actually an improvement because the one before that was 5 months earlier. So that's progress of a sort, and sometimes we will take progress where we find it. Like that. Well, I have all sorts of changes to tell you about today. Personal changes, changes to the podcast and so on, and also changes in general, starting with a new baby. Yes, there has been a new arrival, and we've been talking about it a lot, and there have been a lot of oohs and ahs and so on, and it's our new dog named Leo. I suppose I should probably talk about the other new arrival first. The Prime Minister had a baby. So back to Leo. And seriously, the Prime Minister did have her baby, and she was born on the winter solstice. Well, our winter solstice. I suppose it's summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. But anyway, be that as it may. Also born on Benazir Bhutto's birthday, which is interesting only because she was the only other world leader to give birth while in office. And apparently she did it secretly. She had a secret cesarean, was back at work shortly thereafter because she had people plotting her demise, her political demise, and she was ultimately overthrown in a coup. And then many years later, she was assassinated. But that's all beside the point. That's not going to happen here. Our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, had her baby. And there was a lot of media attention about it, which pissed off the right wing to no end, it's fair to say. And that actually was kind of fun to watch, the extent to which they were grumpy about it, but trying not to be too churlish and too childish, even. Very often not succeeding in doing that, of course. But everyone wished her well, and nobody thought, this is a terrible thing. I mean, she's not married to her partner, Clark Gayford, and nobody bats an eye about that. Nobody thought anything was weird about this. The only thing that some people were saying is, oh, she's prime minister. How can she take 6 weeks off to look after the new baby? And others were saying, well, of course she's going to have to take 6 weeks off. She needs to bond with the new baby and so forth and so on. And so it goes. But it made news around the world, and as well it should, because it was a happy event for them. And it shows a generational change here in New Zealand. The Prime Minister is 37 years old. And in the future, I think this is going to be more of a common thing that Prime Ministers will either be women giving birth while in office, or the husband will take time off because their wives or their partners, rather, are giving birth. It's going to be a more common thing going forward, I think, because times have changed and we don't just want older people to be our prime minister anymore. We want people to, I don't know. There has been a generational change, and younger people are calling the shots more frequently than they used to, and I think that's probably all there is to be said about that. But we have had a new arrival in our household. A relative of ours had this cute little dog named Leo, who could no longer stay with them. He had a bit of a nipping problem. He was nipping a child in the family. And so we said we would take him in. And at first it was only temporary because, you know, give them a chance to change their minds. And but he is so adorably cute. And I've posted photos on my Instagram, which is, I think it's Arthur_Amarin's Instagram. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes. It's on, I think there's a link on all my sites to my Instagram. And I've shared photos on my blog and so on. And he is just adorable. He is a tiny little thing. He's the size of a puppy, and he's pretty much full grown. He's just past a year. He was a year on June 1st, I think it was. I haven't quite got that memorized yet. And he is it is spelled Lowchen. And there's actually an umlaut over the O. It should be Löchen, because it means little lion, basically. And it's a very old breed. He's a cross. But Löchen, or as Kiwis pronounce it, Lauchen, is a very old breed that goes back to, I think, the 16th century, maybe even earlier than that. And what they used to do is they used to shave their back end, pretty much, and have this mane-like thing to make them look like little lions, which is why it's Löchen. And but that's long gone. And the breed, the actual breed, is one of the rarest in the world, apparently. And so he's crossed with a poodle, as are our other two dogs. And he's just adorable, so sweet and so cute. And he loves sitting in your lap and sleeps next to us, which he didn't used to be able to do with his previous family. Don't judge. That's the way it is. And he still occasionally does a little nip when he gets excited or tries to. We're still working on that. The only thing he does that's actually naughty is he tends to run along our fence line and bark at the neighbor's dog. And he apparently sometimes gnaws on the wooden fence to try to get to the, I don't know, try to get to the dog, whatever. But he is just, he's a little ball of fluff, and he's cute as a button. And he gets along really well with Bella, our cat, and cleans her ears quite frequently, which is kind of gross from our standpoint, but Bella loves it. And he gets along fine with Jake, who is our firstborn. The two of them will sometimes go outside and go out on patrol. And, I wouldn't exactly call them friends, but they get along just fine. He's a little more leery of Sonny, actually, who is roughly the same size as Jake, a bit stockier maybe. But she can be quite boisterous, and that sort of freaks him out because he's just a little thing. And he's a bit worried, and she will sometimes play with the same toys that he does, and that kind of freaks him out a bit. But he and Sonny both, they're a lot alike in some ways. Among other things, they're very possessive of us. They want to cling close to us, and they want to have primacy and all that, most of our attention, whereas Jake just kind of lays back and looks. Except when he really wants attention, he comes forward and he asks for it and gets his attention. And Bella, well, she's a cat. Bella, meanwhile, is still sick, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously, but she is. She has kidney disease, and nearly 2 years ago, the vets told us she wouldn't last the weekend, and here we are 2 years later, and she's still with us. There have been a couple of times over the past, 2 months, I think, where we thought, nah, she's on her way out, and then she rallies and comes right. She's basically like a very elderly cat now. She's got a lot of matted fur that she doesn't groom herself as well as she used to, but she eats like a horse, and she wheezes like a whatever, anything that wheezes a lot. She won't go outside to go to the toilet anymore, as she always used to, so we had to get a cat box for her, and she let's just say she makes good use of that. So she's still hanging in there, and as long as she's not in pain, and she doesn't seem to be, and as long as she seems to be happy, and she does seem to be, well, just leave her to it, and it's on her time, not our time. So she's still hanging in there. Meanwhile, she and Leo are great mates. So you can't really ask for a whole lot more than that at this stage, I guess. So, yeah. So Leo is our new addition. And, of course, we have a new first baby. Although, it's a thing. The whole phrase, like, first lady and first daughter or whatever, they're American inventions. We don't use them. And I don't know of any other countries that really do. It's sometimes imposed by the media or what have you. And some in the media were calling her the first baby, and they were calling the prime minister's partner, Clark, the first gentleman or something like that. Well, we don't have anything like that, but my friend Richard Hills, who I've mentioned before, he's a Auckland councillor and ran for parliament back in 2014. I was on his campaign. He tweeted that she should be called the prime miniature, and I thought that was absolutely hilarious, much better than first baby. But, yeah. So those are all the main exciting changes going on. The new government, meanwhile, has been bedding in. Winston Peters, who's the deputy prime minister, is currently acting prime minister while Jacinda is on maternity leave. And is doing a fine job. He's just fine. There are some people who like to whinge and moan about one thing or another, but, that's the way it goes. And they almost act as if, oh, there's Leo now. I don't know if you can hear him. But because he is acting prime minister, he can't do anything unilaterally. And even if he were the prime minister, he still couldn't do anything unilaterally. You'd have to have support of cabinet, and it's a coalition government, so you'd have to get the other coalition partners on board. So, people get upset about anything that he might personally want to do. Have to have a little sense of perspective about these things. The government has been making moves to build more houses. They've announced new appointments to Housing New Zealand's board. Housing New Zealand runs the State houses are houses, well, usually houses, but sometimes apartments or flats or whatever, that are rented to people based on their ability to pay. It's intended for poor people, or people on benefits of one sort or another who are below a certain income line, and they're paid a very subsidized, that they pay a certain percentage of their income in rent to the government. And it's public housing, basically. And but it can be houses or apartments or flats or any number of other things. But we have a shortage of housing available for poor people. And the government is in the midst of this massive program to try to build a lot more of them. At the same time, they're trying to build affordable houses for people to buy. And actually, side note, as a result of that, they're going to be looking for a lot of people in the building trades. And I don't know the specific details. They're going to be announcing this soon. But there's going to be a visa category for people to come and work and live and work in New Zealand, in the people in the building trades. And they have to have some sort of documented training or something. As I say, the details haven't been announced on that. But if you or someone you know is in the building trades, carpentry, bricklaying, probably plumbing, electrician, and so on, and might be interested in moving to New Zealand, that's a way to do it, and it is probably easier than some of the other migration categories. So do keep that in mind. I don't think the specifics are supposed to be announced until closer to the end of the year, I believe. But if you want to know for sure, just go to the Immigration New Zealand website, which I, off the top of my head, I didn't look this up, I believe is immigration.govt.nz. You always, you know, keep up to date with that. So, so the government's been doing that. And meanwhile, while all that's been going on, we've had strike action. For the first time in something like 30-odd years, the nurses went on strike yesterday for better pay and the usual phrase is better pay and conditions. Well, in this case, what they mean is more staffing and more funding for the district health boards and so on. And I don't know anybody who doesn't support them, who thinks they should be paid more. Apparently, their starting wage is something like $26 an hour, whereas a shop clerk is, I think, $18.50 an hour. And, you know, considering the training they have to go through to become a nurse and the huge responsibility they have, that's grossly underpaid. But the government is saying, oh, it's only so much money we've got. And the problem is the coalition government has just agreed to buy, I think it's $1.5 billion worth of new airplanes to replace some we've already got that are well past their use by date. I think they're 60 years old or 50 years old or something. And the planes are probably needed, but it's a really bad time to be buying them. And the thing is that a lot of what the government has been doing has been trying to fix the things that were damaged by the previous government. National underfunded the healthcare for years, for virtually the entire 9 years they were in government. Among other things, education is another one, housing is yet another, and so on. So they're trying to fix all of these problems, but they can't just, the only way they could fix all of them faster is to raise taxes, and they're not going to do that. So they have to kind of prioritize. And although they have offered nurses a substantial wage, pay rise rather, it isn't as much as they wanted, and they want more, so they went on strike. And others are planning on going on strike as well and other things. But here's the thing about that. I mean, I support them. Absolutely, they should be paid more, not just the nurses, but some of these other people as well. And we need to invest more money in education and in healthcare and in all sorts of other areas to fix the damage that National did. However, first of all, there's only so much money to go around. I already said that. But the other thing is, why the hell didn't they strike when National was in power? They were the ones who were creating all these problems, but they didn't go on strike then. And I can't for the life of me figure out why not. The only reason I can think of is that they were afraid that National would retaliate and punish them for going on strike, which is entirely feasible. And they know that a labor-led government wouldn't do that. That's possible. That's the only explanation I can think of. But in some ways, it would have done more good if they had struck back then than it does now, because it would have made it, it might have helped prevent some of the budget cuts, or spending cuts, rather, that they ended up having to endure. But the other side of it is the bad optics of this. Having all these people go on strike gives the right wing a chance to say, see, we told you so, we told you so. And in the public's eye, it looks like chaos. And it's not about labor voters. Labor voters are going to support, labor and Greens voters are going to support these people going out on strike. And even some of New Zealand First will as well. Probably a lot of them will. National aren't win over. You can't win them over anyway, so it's kind of beside the point. But there's this huge number of voters who are not aligned, and there's swing back and forth between Labor and National. And if they think that this looks like an unstable chaos and it's back to the old days of frequent strikes and all this sort of thing, then they're going to go back to National. So I just think that it would have been helpful if there was another way to resolve this without strikes that are probably not going to change anything anyway. But I don't know, we'll see. And I may have more to say on that later as we find out what happens with the nurses, if they end up getting what they want or not. But at the moment, the acting prime minister has said, there just isn't the money there. I don't know where we're going to get it from. Although people have suggested that if they canceled the plane order, they would be able to have the money to pay the nurses. But we'll see. I just don't know. So, on to other changes, of a closer to home changes. And in the beginning of July, I blogged about this, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, about how I suddenly had a sort of epiphany about how my blog is basically me. If you read my blog, you already know about this. If you have listened to the podcast over any length of time, which these days is probably rare, you would know that I've often struggled with certain aspects of content. And on my blog, I often felt uncomfortable with talking about U.S. politics, and I thought, oh, maybe I should spin that off and just do a separate blog. And as you probably are well aware, all of you, I did that with politics on this podcast. I used to talk about U.S. politics from time to time, or frequently sometimes, and I eventually spun that off into a separate podcast with Jason called Too Political. And before you ask, no, I do not know when or if that's going to return. There have been a whole lot of issues going on that have made that very difficult to do, be that as it may. So that's nothing new. And here on this blog, I felt bad about it mostly being an audio blog, and I felt I should do more about New Zealand stuff, and that I should be talking to expats and so on, kind of like I used to an extent in the early days of the podcast. The thing is, on the very first episode of this podcast, I said that I saw it as an audio extension. As an extension of my blog. And that was true then, and it's become true, very true, over the years since. And it is essentially an audio version of my blog, because I talk about the sorts of things here that I would talk about in writing on my blog, but maybe a bit more informally, a bit more casually. And I do sometimes talk about things I wouldn't talk about on my blog for a variety of reasons, or vice versa for that matter. And I have come to realize that my blog, my podcast, and even the sorely neglected YouTube videos are all different aspects of the same thing, which is essentially telling my stories. Whether it's me, literally my story, or the things I want to talk about, that's what they all do. They just do it in different ways. Audio is a much more, I think anyway, a much more personal medium. It allows people to hear my vocal inflection and to tell more easily when I'm joking or see the humor in something. Concepts and nuances that are difficult to convey in print, I think. And, of course, video is obviously visual, and it's a whole other issue again. So going forward, as it were, I'm not really keen on that phrase, but going forward, I'm basically going to just do whatever I want to do, which is what people have always told me to do anyway. And I'm going to blog about whatever it is I want to blog about. I'm going to talk on this podcast about whatever I want to talk about, and I'll make videos about whatever I want to make videos about. Whether there's going to be a whole lot of overlap or not, I don't know. I mean, I often do mention blog posts on this podcast, and I always share announcements of podcast episodes on my blog, so there's already that overlap. Whether I will continue that on into videos as well, I don't know. I mean, I've thought over the years about possibly doing a video as I'm recording the podcast. Basically a vlog it becomes then. In order for that to work, I'd probably have to have it a bit more scripted and a bit more clear on what it is I want to do before I sit down in front of the camera, because cameras don't take no prisoners. But I don't know whether I'll do any of that. I don't know if I'm ever going to do that sort of videoing. We'll see. That's the to-be-determined side of this whole equation. I'm not really set up to do that sort of video anyway at this stage. My office is still a tip. I talked about that in the past. I haven't made much progress on that, about which more in a minute. So in the future, I will again talk about U.S. politics on this podcast if I feel like it. I can't see it ever being a major focus of the podcast. It'll just be from time to time I might comment on something in the news that relates to my life here, or about some particular thing I just want to have a quick comment about, in which case I'll probably do it as a comment, commentary sort of thing, maybe at the end or whatever, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I don't know at this stage, but I'm no longer going to ban U.S. politics from this podcast. And the content going forward, there's that word again, that phrase, the content is going to be whatever I feel like doing on the day at the moment. Because up until now, I've almost never plotted out what I was going to talk about. I just turn on the mic and start talking. And I've always, and I've said this in the distant past, I know, I've always thought of this as sort of a chat with a friend. Sit down with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever your beverage of choice is and just talk about stuff. The only difference is that if you talk back, I can't hear you, unfortunately. Even if you talk up, I still won't be able to hear you unless you send me an audio message or written comment or what have you. I just won't be able to hear. But apart from that, it's exactly like a conversation. And the blog is probably less so because, you know, once it goes out there, generally I don't really get much feedback one way or another. Well, I should probably get more feedback about blog posts than I do about podcast episodes, but I digress. So that's what's coming up. We'll just have to see where this goes together, because at this point, I don't really know where everything's headed. It'll be an adventure. And finally, when in the last episode, I said I was about to go to the new doctor, and I've since been, and her first attempt was to change my beta blocker to a different one. It was an utter disaster, and I've got blog posts on all of this, and I'll put them in the show notes as well. It was an utter disaster, the worst of all the drugs that I had tried. So bad, in fact, that I rang up the doctor and said, I'm going to switch back to my old one and ask them to get the approval of the doctor, because I was going to do it regardless whether the doctor approved of it or not. And so I did, and I just needed some time to chill out after that because it was such an awful experience. And she ended up referring me to a private cardiologist to go check. And so I did, and he looked at my records and determined that I really didn't need to be on beta blockers at all. So he prescribed calcium channel blockers instead, which it's often used for high blood pressure. As a matter of fact, my first high blood pressure pill was a calcium channel blocker, and I tolerated it just fine. And so he prescribed that and also wanted to get a ultrasound thing, scan, of my heart as it's doing its job. It's sort of like when it's the same principles when they scan for a baby, scan a pregnant woman for a baby. And it's to see if the two sides of my heart are playing nicely with each other. And if not, then I may have to go back on beta blockers. But if everything's fine, then I can stay on the calcium channel blockers. That's the short end. It may be more complicated than that, but that's basically what it looks like. And I go for that at the end of the month. So we'll see what comes from that. But I remain hopeful because I am definitely better on the calcium channel blockers. The cardiologist had me, I saw him 3 weeks ago, he had me cut back to half dose of what I was taking of the beta blocker to wean off it, and then switch to the calcium channel blocker, which I did a week ago today. And I've been fine. I've felt much clearer in the head. My memory's been better and more reliable. I think I've got better focus. It's not 100%, but it's only been a week that I've been on these as opposed to the others. And it often takes several weeks for changes, especially changes in medication, to fully bed in, or whatever the phrase is. So overall, I think it's very hopeful and very promising and good. And I think that I'm definitely on the way to a better being, or whatever. I don't know what the phrase is. And the reason all that matters, of course, is that, as I've said, the beta blockers have prevented me from doing pretty much everything I've wanted to do. I haven't had the mental focus or the stamina even to do blogging, let alone podcasting or videos or even finishing my projects around the house. And so getting off of the beta blockers has been very important to me to try to get my life back. And at the moment, I'm actually feeling pretty good, apart from the fact that I've been dealing with winter colds for the past couple of weeks. And so I'm not 100% in that sense. I'm not feeling well. It's just that thanks to the switch away from beta blockers, I'm feeling more like me. And so I'm feeling like a sick me, but I'm still feeling like me. And that's the part that really matters. And that's actually what helps all of this. Because I'm able to focus more and think more clearly now, I'm able to think things through in a way that I just haven't been able to for the past year, more than a year now. And that has enabled me to move forward and to finally start moving on these things that I've wanted to do for a very long time now. So I'm very optimistic about all that. And if I have to go back on beta blockers, that's not going to be a good thing. Although the cardiologist said then it's just a matter of finding the right one, but there are only so many and they all have the same basic drawbacks of memory and fatigue and those sorts of problems. And on my blog, when I talked about this, I said that it would be like being Charlie in Flowers for Algernon, or if you've seen the movie's called Charlie. It starred Cliff Robertson, I think. I can't remember. It's an old movie. Anyway, the gist of the story is that somebody who has a low IQ through some sort of mental structural problems, I'm not really sure what, brain issues, and then he's given this drug that dramatically improves his cognitive abilities, and then it starts to reverse itself, and he is going to go back to himself, but he still possesses some of the awareness of how he used to be. And so that's kind of how I see it, that I would have to go back to being this automaton, but with full awareness that it is possible to not be that way. But I don't know. I'm not going to go easily. And if they do say I have to go back on beta blockers, I'm not going to go easily or gladly. I'm going to try to avoid that at all costs. And the past 3 weeks really have been why that is. But that's it for today. That's it for what's going on right now. I will talk to you hopefully sooner rather than later, but you just never know. You know, I didn't expect it to take another 4 months before I would have the energy, time, and whatever to record, but that's how it goes sometimes. So, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Kakete ano. Bye. You can comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is recorded and distributed under a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.